Yes, I'm here chatting with the lovely Ben. His beautiful, beautiful face. It's just wonderful. And we're going to talk about some stuff today. Because, you know, you guys get to hear us talk about things.
Stuff is cool.
Talk is cool?
Stuff is cool.
Stuff is cool. Yeah, stuff is cool. So today we want to kind of talk about this idea of identity. And what does it mean to have that rooted in Christ? So, what does that mean to you, Ben?
It's hard to find the right words to express that. Because identity, I mean, I feel like we've all heard, like, we want to root our identity in Christ. And there's often other things that we root identities in, like music, art, sports. But I think one of the biggest things when I'm thinking about that and talking about that is, all those things I just listed are things that can disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have your identity rooted in Christ, that's something that no one can take away.
Yeah, totally.
It's like completely solid,
mm-hmm.
right? Immovable.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like I know when I think about like my journey of identity and how you're like, especially like as a teenager, you're constantly adjusting that. Cause like, I know like where I was a teenager is nowhere where I am now. Like as a teenager, I went through phases where it's like, oh, I'm now a punk. And then that didn't last. And then I was like, oh, I'm now an emo kid. And then when that didn't last, it was like, I'm now a metalhead. And when that didn't last, it was like, I'm just weird. And
how long has that last one lasted?
That one's kind of permanent, so. But like again, like those things, like they always kind of faded, right? You know, like the punk thing, I did that for a while because I thought it was cool, and like and then I realized I'm not a really rebellious person, so that didn't really stick.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then like you know the emo thing, like. Even though, like, I struggled with depression and stuff, at the end of the day, I was a fairly happy person. And, you know, I got kind of tired of wearing girl jeans. So
how hard was it to get in and out of those?
It was pretty hard. but I was determined.
Apparently.
Like, I will fit into a size 15 skinny girl jean. Yeah, it was not good. I had like a yellow pair that were really bright. It looked really bad.
That sounds really cringy, man.
Yeah, even worse is that they once belonged to my sisters.
No comment.
Anyway, but like again, like that didn't last. And then like my metalhead stage, like, you know, that one lasted a little longer, but eventually I was like, I don't want to have long hair anymore. And then I, you know, it just ended. But again, like, because like those things were never built on like a firm foundation that would last forever,
yeah.
Right? They were always like reactionary, right? Because I wanted to have somewhere to fit in. I wanted to belong to a group. I was searching for belonging, and I think that is kind of the key of where we fit when it comes to our identity, as we're trying to find belonging. What does it feel like to belong? What does it feel like to be part of a group? What does it feel like to be accepted by these group of people, right?
Yeah. I think one thing that kind of stood out to me as you're kind of mentioning all that is like reliability,
mm-hmm.
constant, belonging. And that's something that we all crave. Like, I definitely knew that. In elementary, junior high, high school, and even university, that's something that I was trying to find.
Mm-hmm.
Despite being Christian and knowing Christ, but at that time, my identity wasn't really rooted in Christ. And so I always tried to find a place to fit in. I always felt left out. And just that sense of not belonging was fairly strong until it's like, okay, those things don't really matter as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And turning to Christ and finding belonging there.
Yeah, and like one thing that like I do kind of want to say is that like having your identity rooted in Christ doesn't mean all the other parts of your identity fades, right? Like,
yeah.
I can say that, like, part of my identity is, like, oh, I'm a nerd. And part of my identity is I'm a pastor. Part of my identity is that, hey, I'm a father. But, like, at the core of it is still Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Like that is the center of my identity. And, like, I got this passage out because, you know, we like to read stuff out of the good old Bible. This is Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no reason for Christ to die. And the thing that, like, that I so much love about, like, that passage, you know, is, like, yeah, there's, like, this harsh reality of, like, oh, like, you died with Christ. And it's like, what? how do you, those emotions, you're like, okay, what does that mean, right? But it's the beauty thing of, like, oh, if you died with Christ, it means you also were resurrected with Christ.
It wasn't even, like, just dying with Christ. It was a horrible death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it's...
But yeah, like you said, resurrection, like, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, there's this beautiful aspect of it. You know, my old has gone and the new will come. Like, the old has faded so the new could come, right? And like, that's the thing is that, like, when we talk about identity in Christ, it's this intricate and interesting process, right? Like I'm not saying, like, oh, when I died with Christ and then I was risen, all of a sudden I was this perfect Christian. Because that... doesn't really exist, because the only perfect person was Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say, perfect Christian is, like, almost an oxymoron.
It's definitely an oxymoron. But, like, it's this beautiful process, right?
Very much so, very much so.
You know, because, like, when we talk about having our identity in Christ, and the reason why that's so important, right, is because, like, before we come into Christ, we are sinners at its core. Right? You know, we are a broken people. You know, I you know, you guys have heard me say that so much, that before I met Christ, before Christ became real in my life, I was broken. You know, I was a shell of a person trying to find meaning, trying to find something, right? I was broken and I had all this sin and all this garbage that filled my life. And I was like, how do I fix that?
I would say same here, and it's like, say, how do we fix that? And that's not something that we can fix.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful part about me saying, okay, I'm going to let my old self die so that my new self can come up with Christ. But us being risen up with Christ is going to be a process, you know?
It's a journey.
Yeah. It took Jesus 3 days to rise from the dead. It's going to take us much longer to get to that point of perfection. You know, and Jesus, like, it says, I don't know exactly where, but it says in the Bible that God is doing an inner work in you until you reach the point of perfection.
It sounds, I'm not sure where that one is, but it also sounds similar to the one in Psalms about how we're, like, God's masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. This is in the New Testament, but.
Yeah, and this is definitely from the Old, but, like, the idea of being a masterpiece, like, as any artist will tell you, it takes time to create that.
Mm-hmm. And if you're talking to an artist, a lot of artists will say, like, oh, I could work on this one piece forever because I'll never be happy with it, right? And I think that's, so the idea of a masterpiece is so, like, unrealistic a lot of times. And perfection is also unrealistic, but God's saying he's doing an inner work in us. So, like, when we say that this is going to take time for our identities to mold and to change and to be rooted in Christ, that's going to take time. So, like, before I came to Christ, I'm not going to do that because it's going to take forever for me to, like, list all the sins that I had committed before I came to Christ. But, like, you know, there were things that were wrong with me. There was issues that I had, you know, like, I had lustful thoughts, you know, I swore, I, you know, gossiped, I was rude, I dishonored my parents, and there's, like, this multitude of sins that bore in front of me. And it's not like when I was like, okay, God, you are now going to be the center of my life. It's not like all of a sudden all those sins just stopped being an issue. Right? It's a process.
Yeah.
You know, we don't expect you guys to be perfect, and I will never put that expectation on you. And I hope you guys don't have the expectations on us, right? We are flawed people.
Very much so.
But the idea of, like, making Christ the center of our identity is working towards that beautiful centerpiece.
Yeah. Shoot, I lost my train of thought.
Classic.
I think, just Jesus being the center of everything. I'm going to use this illusion again, this imagery of having like a bowl of water. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about it briefly earlier about how it's like, just because Jesus is your core doesn't mean the other things are gone.
Yeah.
But if Jesus is your core, it's like adding food coloring to the middle of a bowl of water. And as a little bit of time passes, that food coloring kind of spreads into the rest of the water, mm-hmm. just like how Jesus spreads into all aspects of your life. And those parts are still there. They're just not what makes up the core of who you are.
Yeah. And we can keep talking about Jesus needs to be the center. Jesus needs to be the center. Jesus needs to be the center. But how does that practically change us? How does that change how we live and work as Christians? Deep questions.
Very deep questions. I think a big part of it is that it's not something you can do alone. Because if Jesus is supposed to be there, he's going to be someone that's going to be working with you. Mm-hmm. But not just that, we were created to be in community. And even though Spencer isn't on the same journey as I am, he is walking on a path that is beside mine and someone who can help me on my journey to become a better Christian, to mm-hmm. become more rooted in Christ.
Not even just a better Christian, a better person, yeah. right? And I think that's the thing that we need to kind of talk about is that at the end of the day, that's the aim of this. You know, when we talk about having your identity in Christ, is that it's this process of becoming a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at myself before I met Christ, that person was not, I hate saying as good, but as far as long in their journey of reaching that point of perfection as I am now.
A lot more rough.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like the edges have been scraped off and I'm slowly, sometimes very slowly, sometimes stubbornly,
yep.
you know, working towards that idea of becoming more like Christ. And
oh, sure.
You know, and that's part of what we do here is that we want you guys to be better. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard me or Darian or any of our other leaders say this 1,000 times, but the idea that you have been called to a higher standard, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we use that and I know there's that look of disappointment on our faces sometimes when we say that to you guys, but it comes at a place of love, right?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about being rooted in Christ, when we decide to follow Jesus, when we decide this is going to be the guy that I live my life for, that drastically changes God's expectations of me. That drastically changes my expectation of how other people are going to view me. It drastically changes my expectations of myself as well.
For sure.
Right? Before I was a Christian, it's I can go and I can go swear, I can go watch porn, I can go steal, I can go do whatever I want. But when I became a Christian, all of a sudden those things weren't acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was one of the books that Paul wrote saying how that as Christians we're called to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. We're going to be seen in a higher standard. And that's, on some sense, I feel like it's not fair.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's to be expected. Because we're trying to become better versions of ourselves. We're trying to become better. And to get better, you have to set higher standards than where you were before.
Yeah. Well, I think about like we moved from when we accept Jesus, we moved from being called a sinner to a saint. That's a massive
drastic
jump. Those are very drastic jumps. But like that is what's happening, you know. And that's why when we say like, guys, I expected better from you, you know, or like the you were called to a higher standard. It comes to this place of love because we know that God has this amazing, intricate plan for your life.
Yep.
And, you know, we say that it's not out of disappointment. It's not out of anger or shame or anything else other than Jesus has a plan for you. And that plan is intricate. That plan is beautiful. That plan is inspired by the Creator. And I think that is amazingly intricate and amazingly powerful. You know, when I look at my life and say, God had a plan for my life. So God wove in a plan together for me to be a certain person, to do certain things.
Yeah.
You know, and I had every right to reject that plan.
You had the free will to do that.
I had the free will to reject that plan. But the moment that I accepted the plan of the Creator, that's when amazing things began to happen.
Yep.
You know, when I said, like, yes, Jesus, you're going to be the center of my life. And yes, Jesus, I know that you have plans for me, plans to prosper me and to bring me out of harm. And I am deciding to follow those plans, even though they may be hard, they may be tough. You may have to drag me at times, but I'm willing to go through the plan.
Yeah, like, this journey isn't easy. Not gonna lie. Not gonna lie. But the rewards at the end, the rewards along the way make it so worth it.
Yeah, totally. And you guys may be like, I don't know where you guys are in your lives. I don't know like what journey you're going through. You may be sitting watching this, listening to this podcast and being like, yeah, but life's hard right now. And I feel like I'm following God's plan, but it feels too difficult. Yeah, that sucks. I'm not going to say that, like, that your feelings aren't valid, because they are. Sometimes, following God's plan, there's going to be moments of pain. There's going to be moments of struggle. You know, in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, you know, it says, even though you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself strengthen, restore you, and reestablish you on the highest throne.
Yeah.
It's my favorite passage in the Bible. Because it limits that struggles are going to happen. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be moments where like, oh man, that really sucked.
Yeah.
But they're brief in the scale of things. And that God himself is going to restore you. God himself is going to reestablish you. God himself is going to make things better for you. You just got to push through.
It reminds me also of the verse, and you kind of briefly mentioned it, from Jeremiah, like the plan, I can't even remember the exact wording, but plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Yeah. Like in that context, the Israelites were, I think they were enslaved, really. Like they were taken by Babylon, and they were having a really rough time. Like super rough time. And they're reminded that God has plans for them.
Jeremiah, I'm gonna read the verse before as well. So this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but when I will come and do for you all good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. So God is telling them, you're going to be in slavery for 70 years.
Going to go through a rough time.
You're going to go through a rough time. But for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen.
I think that really speaks to a lot of what we're trying to say. Like, the road isn't going to be easy.
No.
But the rewards that come along the way as we get to our goal, get to the next step, they're going to be amazing. That God has promised that for us, that he's also promised to listen to us as we go through these struggles. He's promised to be there. I mean, were talking earlier about reliability, about constant, God being there for us because we trust him.
Totally. And the one thing that, like, it's like rooting our identity in Christ, it's this incredible journey. It's we're trying to get across is that, like, we're not trying to say this journey is going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, I will never make that lie to you. I will never tell you, become a Christian, it's so easy.
No, very much not.
I will say, become a Christian, the journey's worth it.
Yes.
I will say, become a Christian, because the God that sent you has a plan for you. And yeah, that road to get to that plan may be difficult. That road to get to that plan may be hard. But he still loves you so much that he sent his son to do something incredible. And all he's asking of you is to make his son the center of your life. And you're like, oh, that's a big ask. It is. But it's also our eternity.
It's a very, big ask for us from where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as teenagers who have our entire lives ahead of us, much less the rest of eternity ahead of us.
Yeah.
But thinking about it on the scale of eternity, it is a very small but important.
I know, like, one of my favorite illustrations that I've ever seen was by Francis Chan. Mm-hmm. And he would get those, like, large rope, like, you know, like 30, 40 feet.
Yes.
And he has, like, a little tape on it. And he says, look, this is your life. And this is eternity. But this tape, this little square here,
which is only probably about a 2-centimeter wide piece of tape,
determines the rest of your eternity.
Yeah.
You know, and like I'm saying this, like, I know it seems like, oh, this is harsh, but, like, I'm not trying to be harsh here, but I'm trying for you guys to get it, that this is important. You know, in Matthew 7, Jesus is talking to a big group of crowd, and he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only few ever find it. So that's the thing, is that, like, there, I can list so many different scriptures of the Bible where it says this road is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
But it's also the only road that leads to eternal life.
Yeah.
And even though that road is difficult, it's also a beautiful road. It's also an amazing thing. Like, the things that I have seen because I follow Jesus, the love that I have felt because I follow Jesus. Like, I look at my life, and because I follow Jesus, I married my beautiful wife. Because I follow Jesus, I now have a beautiful son who I love more than almost anything in this world. Because I follow Jesus, I get to interact with you guys and see you guys grow and see you guys learn and thrive, and that is incredible. Because I follow Jesus, I have some of the closest friends I could have ever wished for. And those are all moments I can thank because of Jesus, because I decided to follow him at the age of 13. Yeah.
I've got no words. Like, that's, that statement is just amazing. It's beautiful. It's, there aren't words that I know, and I know a lot of words, that can properly describe the feeling an understanding of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you, I accepted Christ at a very young age. And that has changed the direction of my life, changed the course of where I ended up to where I am today. And just, I mean, it's not to say that it was all the same direction. Like, that road, there's going to be times where I decide to wander off, right? But when I come back, Jesus has been waiting there, waiting for me to continue on that journey.
Yeah, prodigal son, man.
Yep.
Every time.
and you know, like, Spencer is definitely a little bit further in the journey than I am, because he has a wife and kid and has a family. I definitely do not. So he's experienced a little bit more. But everything else that I can say, like, I experienced as well, like, being able to grow, watch you guys grow. Like, that's not just a pastor thing. That's literally, like, any of your leaders.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, any of your leaders, they may not say it. And I think most of them kind of do, but they love you guys. We love you guys and girls. And
yeah, we love you all.
Yeah, all of you. There's so much love. But that's something that the only reason we got to be here is because of Christ.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, that's...
and that's the beauty of it. And, like, that's why, like, we want you guys to come on this journey and make Christ the center of your life, is for you guys to get to experience these amazing things. For you guys to get to experience that. And also, you know, we've been talking about, like, struggles and hardships and things. My hardships have been made easier because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at, like, the struggles, like, whether that was, like, through my depression, whether that was my dad dying, whether that was, like, any struggles I can pick, those were made easier because of Jesus. Because I had someone I could turn to. Since I had someone I could talk to, because I could have Jesus be like, I just got to pray, Jesus, and I got to talk this out. You know?
Yeah.
And those were made easier because of Jesus. They're still going to happen.
It's still going to hurt, but it's easier.
It's easier. And also, like, you know, we've talked about, like, this path will be hard. That's true. But you're still going to have struggles if you don't choose Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I know lots of Christians who have gone through horrendous things. But, you know, but when I went through horrendous things, I had someone I could turn to. I had a creator who I could be like, I don't get this. Help me through this.
Yeah.
Just Jesus makes things better.
I think one thing that I think a lot of you guys can understand is that belonging. Mm-hmm. When something horrible happens and you don't have someone to turn to, man, like, the loneliness.
Yeah.
You'll feel... Desperation, just that very... dark, like, nothing.
Yeah, because, like, in my moments of loneliness, in my moments of despair, I had someone who made me feel less lonely.
Yeah.
Right?
Someone to help you make you feel wanted, yeah. Loved.
And also, like, that's the beauty of, you know, making your life, like, making Christ the center of your life, is all of a sudden, you are now part of a group.
Part of a family.
You're part of a family. You know, like, we talk about, like, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. So, like, the moment that you say, like, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian. Yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's when you get to this amazing point of your life where when you go through something, you can be like, oh, yeah. Like, when I go through something, you know, I can, like, wallow in my self-pity. I can sit there and be alone, or I can like, pull up my phone and text him and be like, hey, Ben, I'm going through something. Can I call you? Let's talk.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And like, that's the beauty of this, is that, like, you know, yeah, I have Jesus, and Jesus is amazing, but I also have other Christians and other people who are walking this journey the same time as me, and we get to walk it together, and that's part of that makes this journey so fun.
And part of that, like, it's not even when, like, you're feeling that loneliness, that desperation, that depression, and you're reaching out. It's sometimes that you're not reaching out, but you got this family that would be like, hey, what's up? How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you haven't talked to them in a while even, right? Like, I've had friends that, like, I'm going through a rough time. I haven't talked to these friends in, like, months. And out of the blue, they're just like, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Been thinking about you. And even something as simple as that makes, like, you feel like,
what?
Right? It's just like, someone wants to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And God's used that.
Exactly. And it's just this, like, beautiful thing, is that, like, you know, we're just asking you guys to consider Jesus. At the end of the day, that's all this is really about, is that, like, consider Jesus, and not, you know, there are many things I can say, yeah, like some people are like, yeah, well, I follow Jesus, but like, yeah, but do you know him? Is he the center of your life? Can you call Jesus a lifelong friend? And that, like, that's my desire for you guys, is to call Jesus your lifelong friend, so you get to experience these amazing things that God has set before you, so that you guys get to experience the path that God is laying bricks in front of you, and hoping that you don't decline that purpose that God made you for, and that you accept it. And also, like, I want to get things like thing is that just because, like, I'm saying that God has a purpose for you, I'm not saying that God's gonna be like, go be a missionary or go be a pastor. That's not everyone's calling, you know.
No.
God might be like, go be a firefighter, go work retail. Like, you never know. And that is just part of, like, this process, that God has a different and intricate plans for each of us, and they're beautiful and amazing. And it's, you get to go on this incredible journey that's going to bring so much joy and happiness. And yeah, moments of despair, moments of hopelessness, but also moments that, in the moments of hopelessness, you will find hope. In the moments of despair, you'll find friends. And in the midst of that, you will find love and hope and everything worth serving Jesus for.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing. So I really hope that you guys got something out of this incredible conversation. You know, it was so fun to talk to you, Ben, and talk with you guys as well. So I hope you guys got something out of this, and I'm just going to pray to end off this podcast. Thank you, Jesus, so much for what you have done. Thank you that you are making us intricate, making us that we each have our own individual purpose and plan, and that us being on this journey with you creates so many long-lasting memories and so many good things out of it. I just pray that all these things are good and holy in your name. Amen.
Amen.
See you guys. Thanks for tuning in.